We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere.
Let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host, Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is one of my favorites, our sister in Christ, Miss Renee Kilhofer. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good. It's good to see you.
You too. I'm loving this kind of cozy, dreary morning.
Oh, you like the cold rain?
I do. From inside my climate-controlled room with a window where I can see it. I don't want to be out there in it.
Yeah.
I mean, let's clarify. But, yeah, I do enjoy the rain.
I like it if I can cozy up on the couch under a nice, warm blankie.
Yeah.
One of them fuzzy blankets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even better. A cup of coffee or hot tea or, yeah. We'll get to that this afternoon.
Yeah. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, or you can comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'll do my best to get that uploaded shortly after the program has ended. Our Facebook sponsor for today is Gateway Church, located a mile and a half west of Tractor Supply in Elk City, Pastor Chasten Music. We are better together. Please like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us, even if it's the replay. I think I covered it all. Would you like to pray to start us out?
Yes, ma'am. Precious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time together. Thank you for the privilege that we have to be able to come together and talk about you and study your word and to have that freedom, and help us not to take that for granted. And I just pray that you would open our hearts to receive whatever you have for us today. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title. Do you believe?
Do you believe? Yeah. You know, it's that time of year again, and it seems like people are everywhere and more people than usual, and everybody's on a mission. Thank you. And this time of year, a lot of times we get on a mission to show love to people. And we, you know, we want to love those people in our lives. We want to show that love to them. And a lot of times this time of year is when we will reach out and show love to people that we would not ordinarily do that for. We might even say Merry Christmas to a total stranger, or just a smile or a nod, or there just seems to be a little something in the air, you know, this time of year. And I love that, because most of the time, I mean, there are some Scrooges out there, but most of the time, regardless, your Merry Christmas is met with a smile and a Merry Christmas to you. And people just seem to be a little happier. I know there are people who are not, so I'm not leaving them out, but in general, that's kind of the feel. And we all have our traditions that we love to just, you know, do year after year because it makes us feel good. And familiarity just feels good. And so it just kind of takes you back. You know, I like to do with my grandkids the things that I did with my kids when they were little. And we would, you know, drive around and look at Christmas lights. We'd go to the park. We'd drink the hot chocolate and put together Christmas puzzles. And we would always watch Christmas movies. And each of my kids had their favorite Christmas movie. I mean, I only have two kids, but both of them had their favorite Christmas movie. And those movies would literally play on the old VHS, you know, over and over again for the whole month of December. They would just go back and forth between Jingle All the Way and Miracle on 34th Street. My son loved Jingle All the Way. and my daughter loves Miracle on 34th Street. So when I have my grandkids, if it's my son's kids, when I have them during December, we always watch Jingle All the Way. And if I have my daughter's girls, then we're going to watch Miracle on 34th Street. And so just about 2 weeks ago, my daughter's, like, bonus girls were with me for the weekend. So we had to watch Miracle on 34th Street. And it's such a good movie. I mean, it really is a good movie. And Santa Claus is actually on trial to prove that he is who he says he is in this movie. So it's very interesting. And the movie takes place in New York, and people all over New York are asking the question, do you believe? Do you believe? And they have signs up in the retail stores that say, do you believe, or we believe? And people are wearing buttons that say, I believe. And so it's kind of cool, because basically they're all asking, you know, do you believe in Santa Claus? Do you believe this man is who he says he is? And so there's just quite the campaign going on in the movie that just, like, engulfs the whole city of New York. And that's pretty cool. But the lawyer for Santa Claus, he submits to the court that they must prove that Santa Claus does not exist at all before they can declare that his client, Kris Kringle, is not, in fact, Santa Claus, that they have to destroy that as a myth. And so he cites the very fact that the stories have been passed down from generation to generation for decades, that this bears witness that there is some truth to the fact that Santa Claus does indeed exist. So in the end, Santa Claus lawyers, they win the case by pointing out that we can't see God, but he is well established in historical record, and millions of people declare that he is real, even though we can't see him, and even the federal government has printed on its money, "In God We Trust." So the courts wind up declaring that Santa Claus is real, and he exists in the person of Kris Kringle. And so the whole city of New York is going crazy, and it's just such a good movie. But it got me thinking, as we were watching it, about the book, The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel. And I don't know if you've ever read it or not, but it is such a good book. If you haven't read it, you need to get it and read it. It's a small little book. It's an easy read. But Lee Strobel was an investigative journalist, and I believe it was like in the 70s, and he was also an atheist. So he, yes, there is a movie about it and a documentary as well. And he set out to prove that God does not exist, that God is a myth. And so he handled this investigation like you would a court case, where the evidence has to be sound and documented and, you know, ill-refuted. And so he read and studied all these historical records, and he interviewed people, and he read the eyewitness accounts from secular historical documents that that exist from the time that Jesus walked the earth. I mean, it's just so cool. And so in the end, no matter how hard he tried, he could not prove that God is not real. And in fact, wound up proving just the opposite and committing his life to Christ and now serving the Lord. And so I just love his book, because for so many of us who grew up in church, say, you know, we take that for granted, the existence of God. We take it for granted. It's just a fact. We just know. That's what we were taught. We believe. And it's something that we just take by faith. And I wouldn't even say that it's like a great leap of faith for us to believe that, because we just so take it for granted. And really, you know, it is so simple. All we have to do is believe and take it by faith and believe that God's word is true and make Jesus Lord of our lives. It's that simple. Just live for him as best we can through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us the moment that we invite him into our hearts. It's so simple. Like I don't need to be convinced of that, you know, but there are people out there who do need to be convinced. And so the compelling evidence is there. And that I just think that's so cool. And it's a reminder to me that what I have built my life on is not a fairy tale. Mm. It is something very real that I can stand on. This is solid because God is who he says he is. And he has done and will do what he has said in his word. Mm. And I can bank on that. And so that is so cool. But as I went through some of the evidence the last few days in preparing for this morning, you know, I just found myself at times, you know, shouting, at times crying, because God is just so good and he's so real. And so I asked the question this morning, do you believe? And I would challenge you not to just go, oh, yeah, I believe, you know. Why do you believe? Let that soak in. Like, know your why, because it's powerful, and it's there's power there that we lose when we just take that for granted. Oh yeah, I believe God's real. But what do you believe about God, and why do you believe that? So this morning, I just want to take us through a few quick facts. It's important for us to know these things also so that we are ready to share with those who do need to be convinced and those who may come against us. So I want to start with just a few prophecies about Jesus' birth. But before we do that, I want to read the story of Jesus' birth because it's Christmas time. This is what it's about. And sometimes we don't focus on it except one time a year. And so I want to read the account in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And I'm in the NLT this morning because that's what popped up. So we're going to go with that. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. And this was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea. That's David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David." And so this is so cool because this was prophesied like hundreds of years before. So I want to start with just a few prophecies about the life of Jesus. And prophecies are just history in advance. I love that phrase. And the birth of Christ that we celebrate as Christian fulfills numerous Old Testament prophecies, just as birth. Prophecies that were given centuries before the events they describe. In Matthew 1:21, or chapter 1, verse 22, he introduces a common statement in his work. He wrote, "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet." and he used that same phrasing in a dozen passages. He knew it was important for the readers to know that many of the events he wrote about in his gospel fulfilled certain prophecies. And that's important to know. The first time he used that particular phrase was in Matthew 1:22. And he did it to introduce one of the most well-known prophecies, where he said all this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. And the prophet said, "Look, the virgin will conceive a child, she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us, and that is exactly what happened. So Matthew is referring here to a specific prophecy in Isaiah that was made 700 years earlier. Not last week, but 700 years before anybody ever knew that there would be a Mary or a Joseph or a baby or anything. But Isaiah knew because God had told him, and he prophesied that to people. So therefore, in Isaiah 7:14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you the sign. The virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. And we see Matthew quoting that in chapter 1, 700 years later. And the prophecies just continue. God told Joseph in a dream to wake up Mary and take her and Jesus to Egypt because Herod was coming to kill the baby. This fulfills the prophecy in Hosea 11:1. "Out of Egypt I call my son." And you know the story. Joseph and Mary, like we just read, had gone to Bethlehem for the census, and Jesus was born in Bethlehem. But then Herod got word that this Messiah was born, and he took it as a threat to his reign. So he had his people try to find this baby. And when they couldn't find this baby, he had them just kill every single baby in Bethlehem, or the whole kingdom of Rome, that was 2 years or younger. And so that's when God woke up Joseph in the middle of the night and said, you know, get Mary and the baby out of here. Go to Egypt, because Egypt is a different kingdom and Herod had no authority there. So Joseph quickly obeys and wakes up Mary and says, you know, grab the baby, we have to leave. And they flee to Egypt. So that's where Hosea says, "Out of Egypt I called my son." So here we go again. Is that not cool? So Micah 5:2 prophesies that Jesus' birthplace would be in Bethlehem. And we know he was born in Bethlehem because that's where Joseph had to go back to. So he took Mary there, and it was about the time for her to have a baby. And I'm sure, you know, the donkey ride probably helped push that along a little bit. I can only imagine that might increase the likelihood of labor starting. I don't know. But I'm glad that I was able to go to the hospital in a car. But he was a Nazarene. Jesus was a Nazarene. And they were looked at with scorn. Nazarenes, I don't understand why, but the Nazarenes were just looked down on. And so several prophets revealed throughout the Old Testament that the Messiah would be despised and rejected by men. And here he comes out of Nazareth, because Joseph and Mary came out of Nazareth to Bethlehem for him to be born, and then they fled to Egypt from there. So it just like all ties together. And it was prophesied that Jesus would enter Jerusalem on a donkey's colt when he started his ministry, prophesied in Zechariah 9:9, fulfilled in Matthew 21:4 through 10, prophesied that he would be betrayed by a friend, Psalms 41:9, fulfilled in John 13:18. He was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. That was prophesied in Zechariah 11:12 and fulfilled in Matthew 26:14-16. It was prophesied that the money would be used to purchase a potter's field. And that was prophesied in Zechariah 11:13, fulfilled in Matthew 27:3-10. Prophesied that he would die a sacrificial death for us, prophesied in Daniel 9:26 and Isaiah 53:8, fulfilled in Matthew 27:50 and 2 Corinthians 5:21. Prophesied that he would die with criminals, but he would be entombed like a wealthy man. That was prophesied in Isaiah 53:9. And it was fulfilled in Matthew 27:57-60 and Luke 53:9. Prophesied that he would rise from the dead. Prophesied in Psalm 16:8-11 and Isaiah 53:10. Fulfilled in Matthew 28:6. It was prophesied that he would say certain words on the cross, that he would be mocked, and that people would gamble for his clothes. This was prophesied in Psalm 21, verses 1, verses 8, and verses 18. Fulfilled in Matthew 27, verses 35-46. And these are just a very few. We could go on and on and on. Religious scholars have counted as many as 456 prophecies that pertain to the life of Christ. So this is not even scratching the bucket here. And many prophecies could be listed that were perfectly fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ. These are not lucky guesses. You know, they were precise predictions made by an all-knowing God, the God of the Bible, who repeatedly demonstrated that he has perfect knowledge of all past, present, and future. All events, past, present, and future, he has perfect knowledge. So therefore, we can be completely confident that he will always make good on his promises. And the future events that have been foretold, those will also come to pass. So I think that's a good place to stop and pray for needs, actually. We are completely confident that God will do what he says he's going to do. So I think it's a good time to pray. Sorry, I should have warned you.
Fumbling over here, y'all. We do have a few prayer requests this morning. Pray for the family of Maria Wiley, who passed away December 7th. Her services are today. Pray for the family of Dolores Joe Bray, who passed away December 7th. Sheila Sutton and family, her mom, Marcia Luttimer. Her mom passed away December 2nd, and her grandmother passed away yesterday.
Oh.
And then I have an unspoken prayer request for a young man named Nikolai Cherry. Him and his family just need God to intervene. And I'm holding on to the words, what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it for his good.
Yes.
So that's...
Get it together, Monica. Don't spill your coffee. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you that we can have confidence in your word and that what you have said will be done. And for those who need healing, that will be done because you promised that in your word. And provision or comfort or whatever the need is, you have supplied that already. And so we thank you that we can just bring our needs before you. And we lift up the family of Maria Wiley, who recently passed away, and her services are today. And we know their hearts are heavy, and your word says that you are close to the brokenhearted. And so, Father, we just lift up this family to you, and we ask you to just comfort them in a way that only you can. And if there are family members who don't know you, Father, we pray that you would anoint the minister and that he would say something, or other people would say something, that would just stir up that conviction in their heart and that desire to have a relationship with you, and that their lives would be turned around for the good through this situation, in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray for the family of Dolores Jo Bray, who passed away also on December 7th. We pray for her family, as these families are facing the holidays for the first time without these loved ones. Father, we ask that you would just intervene in a supernatural way. Bring that peace that passes all understanding, and just bring them some kind of joy, Father, that just comes from the inside out. And Father, we lift up Sheila Sutton's family, who have lost a mom and a grandma just in the last 2 weeks, Father, right here before the holidays. It just seems like too much. And Father, we trust you. We know that you know what you're doing. And so we ask that you would just intervene in the hearts of every family member, especially Sheila, who's lost a mom and a grandmother. Father, I just pray for supernatural peace and presence to just permeate her home and wherever they're at, the funeral home and those services. And Father, I pray that the memories of these loved ones would bring joy into their hearts, Father, and praise for you. And again, we ask, if there are any family members who are not serving you, that these losses would bring them to a realization of their need for you, and that they would submit their hearts and lives to you. And this would be a life-changing, heart-changing experience for them. And they'll be able to say that Christmas 2024, I committed my life to Christ, and it will make all the difference for them. And Father, I lift up this Nikolai Cherry and his family with this unspoken need. Father, we don't have to know the details because you know everything. And so, Father, we ask for you to do what you know needs to be done, what only you can do, to just intervene in this family and this situation, bring peace, bring breakthrough, bring healing, bring provision, bring joy, whatever needs to happen, Father. We pray that you would allow the details to unfold in a way that it brings glory and honor to you and good to this family. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty, 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey, y'all, she'll bless your shoes and your socks off. Stay tuned. Don't go away. We will be right back.